God bless you, saints. Good morning. We're going to be turning back to Job chapter 1. We had such a fine time at the minister's meeting yesterday, fellowshipping with other brothers, and just really edifying. And this morning we'll continue from Job chapter 1. We'll start at about verse 6. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word and for the revelation of this hour that we have, Lord, to give us overcoming power against the devil. And Lord, as we study these things out this morning, I pray, God, that you'll help us to navigate your word and open these things up to us and quicken them to us, Lord. Grant it, Lord, that you'll prepare our hearts to receive what you've got in store for your bride today. I pray, God, that you'll be with Brother Keith as he's preparing, Lord, back in the study. And grant it, Lord, that you'll just feel at liberty to be with us today. We pray in your name. Amen. So, Job chapter 1, verse 6 says, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now, I want to meditate today on just what Satan does, because, you know, sometimes we forget that Satan is real. And Brother Branham would say, he'd make comments like, he'd say, Satan and demons are real spiritual beings, just as angels are real. Satan is called the devil, which means the tormentor. So Satan's real. He's very real, and he's very good at his job. His role is to torment in your mind, in your spirit, in your body, or your soul if you're not born again. And you think about what a devil does. It will influence. It acts as an influence to influence your people's thoughts or habits, as an influence on your body to make you sick, to influence your behavior. But a devil can't do something against your will if you're responding in faith. It can only act if you open up your heart. The person's got to yield themselves to the demon's influence. So a Satan's influence can manifest in unclean habits like lying or lusting or addictions. All of those things are attributed to demonic influences that are preying on people's weaknesses. But people have a choice whether to resist or give in. That's why the scripture says resist the devil, resist him, and he'll flee from you. Right. And we've got the ammunition to resist him. Faith in God's word. God has given us the equipment to be able to resist the devil. So while Satan's got influence over the world, he has no power over a believer who actively resists him through faith in God's word. And you see, that's one of the things that's revealed in the seals, that he's just a bluff. A believer that's got the new birth, that's reacting in faith, he can respond appropriately to the devil when the devil comes with his lie. Well, it's not for you. You can't get the promise. With his lies, with his thoughts, whatever it might be, and trying to influence with sickness, trying to influence with the mind battles, you've got the equipment by faith to respond to the devil. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So ultimately, Satan was defeated at the cross of Christ, and he has no legal rights over a believer. He's just a squatter. So that means, as a believer, you've got a right to tell him you got to get out of here. He has no right to any of God's property. But he tries to deceive you into thinking that he's got a right to be there or he can't leave. His deception is to make people think he's got power over them. So look at what is being relayed here in Job 1:6. There was a day when the sons of God, this angelic council, all the sons of God reporting back of their activities, and here the devil is right there amongst them. And this is how the devil likes to do. Because the devil, Brother Branham has explained over and over that Satan is religious. And, you know, the world is already, he's already got them. You know, they're in that state of sin. But that's not really where the devil likes to be, because he started as an angel of light and the worship angel that would lead worship in heaven. So he wants to be where there's worship. So he's going to try to get himself, just like here, where the sons of God came to present themselves. He was there amongst them. He wants to get in the church. And Brother Brown would say in a testimony on the sea, he said, that's the way it is. It's always a mixed crowd. Believers, make believers, and unbelievers always conglomerated together. There they are, even when the sons of God come up before God. In the book of Job, it says Satan was sitting among them when the sons of God appeared in the presence of God. Certainly, they're always there. In another place, he said, so the devil goes to church. This is maybe a stumbler to think that the devil wants to go to church. The devil goes to church. The devil belongs to church. The devil acts like a Christian. He's a deceiver. And you see what the nature of the devil is. He's trying to deceive you to think he's got a right to be where to be there. He's got a right to your property. He's got a right to take your joy away and take all that. He's a deceiver, and that's what he does. He deceives. And he said, Brother Ram said, if he didn't act like a Christian and act like a church, he wouldn't be a deceiver. Right. No man could be deceived only if the difference was black and white, if it's contrary to one another. But the Bible said it'd be so close that it would deceive the very elect if possible, the spirit in the last days. And he said, friends, we're there. And again, we're talking about the story of in Job where the sons of God were gathered together and Satan was right there among them. You know, you follow all the little parables and things that Brother Brown talked about, that it would be so close, how? Like a lamb and a goat. A lamb and a goat sounds almost identical. Well, you'd say, well, one's mad, one's bad. Well, you can't hardly tell it apart. But it's the nature. That there's a nature that makes them different animals. One will give you everything it's got, and the other, as soon as you walk into the barnyard, it wants to butt you and knock you over. Right. And you're like, well, here it comes. It wants to push you over. But it's the nature. Look how he said, in earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Notice how from the beginning Satan has been so close. Now, a lot of people say today, oh, Brother Branham, don't you think that communism is awful? Yes, it's awful. But that's not the Antichrist. No, sir. Jesus said the Antichrist would be so close, like the real, it would deceive the very elect if possible. It's religious people. That's where it comes in. And he said, those Pharisees and religious people of that day who went around with these forms and made fun and poked fingers and said they were a bunch of illiterate and so forth, that same spirit lives on men and women today. Look how even when the seals were opened, Brother Branham was initially confused about who that whitewash rider is, because it's so close. The white, it's white. It looks... We'll put a label on that and say, well, it's the Holy Ghost. But then God revealed to him, that's not the Holy Ghost. It's going to be so close. And look how this, we're examining this morning what the devil does, what the influence, how he deceives. And the unity of one God and one church, he said, you see, Satan uses a man's head. His thinking. He might think something's right. He's using his own way. And he said he chose that in the Garden of Eden to take a man's head, his thinking, and he has brought that down even to the church. See, the devil takes a man's head so he can use his eyes. And if you'll notice, if the man isn't genuinely born again, spiritual, he'll take what he can see with his eyes, the pride of life, and he'll go many men to say he's going to achieve something. He wants to join church. He wants to be religious. And he'll look around till he can find the biggest church he can find. Because man wants to do something big. He wants to make a big name for himself. That's what carnal, foolish, thinking man think. Oh, if I can have my organization, if I can only add so many thousands to my denomination, it'll be the largest then in the land of its kind. What good does that do? But he thinks he's achieving something because he's adding more. You see how deceptive the devil is to think that if we just add more and more people... But God wants people that are genuine converts to not have more people, but to more have more born-again experience, to really give your heart to God. It's not more people, bigger churches and all those things we want, but we want more of God. We want more of the word. I really sitting there listening to Brother Olteek speak yesterday, and he was talking about how there's a lot of different ways that we can measure the Holy Ghost. You can measure by how much you jump around or how much you cry or all those kind of things, but the way that God has given us to measure the Holy Ghost is by revelation. So that's what we're seeking. We're seeking revelation. The more Holy Ghost you get, the more revelation you have, and that revelation will produce a change in your life. And that is how you combat the devil. When a revelation will tell you, will help you to be able to discern the true and the false and to be able to recognize. And Brother Brown would say that's how you really overcome the devil, is when you can recognize him and all of his tricks.
Right.
When you recognize, well, that's not God putting that thought in my mind. Or that's not God, that maybe somebody will say something to you that's very, that's contrary to the word or whatever. So we'll say this morning, tell me about the devil. I want to tell you about the devil. He is the author of glamour and sin and unbelief and doubt and pride and all those things that are contrary to God. And he's trying to influence people in the church in those ways to make you doubt and to make you disbelieve. He perverts and imitates what God creates. Everything, God will create something perfect, and he'll pervert it and make it sick. He'll pervert it and make it die. He'll pervert it and make the real truth and pervert it and make it a deception. He'll pervert something good and make it false. Pervert it and make it a lie. He'll pervert a true church and make it a false church. He'll pervert a true religion and make it a false religion. He is cunning, and he tries to deceive even the elect if possible. He tried to be so close that it would deceive the elect if it was possible, but thank God it's not possible. He is the ruler of this world's kingdoms and nations, and he causes all the wars and strifes and immorality. That's what the devil's doing. You think about the devil is the accuser. There in Job, he's the accuser of believers. He's trying to find a fault. And Satan, one of Satan's attributes, he just could not see that Job was a real believer. That's where Satan got all stumbled up. He was like, if I take everything away from him, he ain't going to believe. He's going to give away all of it. I'm going to take everything. He made a deal with God. I'm going to take everything to show to you that he's not going to really believe. He's offered all these sacrifices, and I'm going to leave him nothing left but the ashes of that lamb that he's been sacrificing, and then he won't believe you. But Job proved him wrong. And Satan can't see inside of the heart of the real believer. Look what he wants to inflict, pain and suffering. He tries to break our faith and our allegiance to God through difficult trials. But, you know, he's got limits on his power. He can't do nothing unless God pulls back the hedge and says, go ahead. So you think about that this morning. Satan's got a leash on him. He can't do nothing unless he's got permission. But, you know, Satan is persistent in his attacks. He'll try, and then he'll back off, and he'll try again. He'll keep coming back. So you got to be fervent in your resistance, and you got to know how to resist him, because Satan is a worthy adversary. Look, even after the first wave of attacks in Job chapter 1, well, here he comes back around again, and now he took away all of Job's possessions. Well, now Job chapter 2, now he's going to start attacking his body. And then the rest of Job later on, he's attacking his mind and giving him all those mind battles. So he just keeps coming back wave after wave. And that's how the devil does. And his ultimate goal is to turn people away from God. That's his goal, is to make you think God don't love you, make you think church is not for you, make you think God, the promises are not for you, and deceive you from being able to reap the rewards of a believer. And his desire was for Job to curse God to his faith and renounce his faith in the midst of suffering. And look how Satan works, too. He'll work through circumstances. In Job chapter 1, he used raiders, and he used wind and fire and all those things to destroy Job's possessions and his family, which shows that he can work through natural means. But look how Satan attacks Christians. He'll influence people to doubt the word. Well, I don't believe that miracles are possible. You see how the devil, that's the devil. If you don't believe that God can work a miracle in your life, it takes faith to combat that. And the more word you receive, it's actually building up your faith to combat the devil, because that's a demonic influence to make you think that that promise is not for you. He tries to, his deception, he tries to get you more focused on the church or your pastor and develop a relationship with those things and get more focused on church programs or entertainment or the chili that you can eat at the good church function instead of the Spirit of God, instead of a relationship with God. And that's where the deception of Satan is. Maybe he'll want you to try to get you to develop a relationship with the church instead of with God. And that's the deceptive nature of the devil. He'll attack with sickness and disease and oppression and possession and all of those things to try to take away everything from a believer. And look what he'll try to do. He'll try to get you alone. Try to separate the little sheep from the flock. Get them away. Get them isolated. Get them isolated so they don't go to church. Get them isolated from other believers. Or get them alone without Jesus and separate them from the word so that he can do like a wolf and just kill them. And look at what he'll blow his poisonous breath of strife and try to get people broken up, try to get homes broken up, make people get separated over just little differences. Little tiny little things will come up, and he'll create blow it up into a great big thing, and it's the devil. So you want to overcome the devil, you recognize him and his little tricks. Don't just let the little tiny little things blow up into a great big thing, and then you got something that it might take decades to overcome, because it's the devil. And look, here's how you know you can recognize that the devil is active. When you deny the word, that's the devil. That's the demonic influence. When you say, I'm not going to toe the line with the word, or you see somebody not toeing the line with the word, like somebody living in adultery, let's for example, just to make a drastic example, somebody living in it, obviously they're not toeing with the line with the word, and that's because of a demonic influence, because Satan influences us to unbelieve, to disbelieve. Sin is disbelief. And to deny the word, to deny any of the word, to deny anything from the word, is a product of unbelief. Amen. Even something as maybe as basic as Mark 16, or that signs will follow the believers. If you doubt those things, it's not coming from God. Right. You can see Satan is active when you look at a church or a church system or denominational systems that compromise their teachings for popularity or focus on creeds instead of the Spirit. That's what Brother Branham laid out as he laid out the church ages, that Nicolaitan spirit in the early church age was trying to control and prevent the Holy Spirit from moving in the people. It was the devil to try to limit the correct teaching of the word, to try to limit the moving of the Spirit, and it was this deceptive power of the devil. Another way you can tell that the devil is active is that when you see immorality and wickedness increasing, like in the days of Noah, it just grows and grows. But he's going to raise up a standard. I believe in having a standard and living right and doing right so that you're separated and you're not living like the world. A lack of faith for the supernatural, calling of the devil when God moves, that's a sign of the devil. And because of the demonic influence, people will have nervous breakdowns and unrest and unable to stand still. Just like Job was roaming through the earth to and fro, God wants us to be rested and peaceful and have know where we're standing and know what we believe, not roaming about wondering what's real and wondering what's right. You know, God's purpose and plan for our life is not to have a nervous breakdown or be in unrest and have to be dosed up in all kinds of pills and things. And you see, that's a product of what the devil does those things. It's the devil. In Christianity versus idolatry, Brother Branham said, I've seen good people and Pentecostal people, pastors who didn't understand, the people get into hysterics and fall into trances and everything like that and do things and finally run them into the insane institution. And what was it? How does the devil influence somebody? It's opening up their heart. Right. He said it was opening up their heart. Innocent people and devils came in and taking place. There is a real devil. Let me just impress upon your mind this morning that there is a real devil. Amen. Brother Rand will make statements like, we believe there's a God, but if you believe God, you got to believe there's a devil too, because where there's true, there's going to be that opposition. There is a real devil. And Satan is the author of strife. He's the author of marital strife and unfaithfulness and divorce, cheating on spouses and being dishonorable in marriage. He's the author of all that substance abuse, trying to pervert that godly thirst that people have for God, and drinking and smoking and going to the gas station and getting all that marijuana oil and trying to do something to satisfy the holy thirst that God has given you. I wonder sometimes if we'd really get desperate before God, and instead of satisfying that thirst with something else, like the devil wants us to do, but get on our knees and be real men and women of God, and get those rubbed mark on our knees in prayer, and really spend some time alone with God. Then that thirst will be satisfied. Materialism and worldliness, focusing too much on money and status and fashions and entertainment instead of God, and division among believers. Because listen, Satan is real. Demonic influence is real. Demonic possession is real. And Brother Bram would say in Christianity versus Idolatry, he said, if you don't believe there really is a devil, you don't believe there's a God. Sure, you've got to believe the contrary, the pro and con. So there is a real devil, and he is a person, not a thought. He is a person. There's teaching going on that says the devil is just an evil thought you get. No, it isn't. The devil is a person. And in the message, how can I overcome? He said, overcome means to recognize the devil in every one of his tricks. A lot of people says there ain't no devil, it's just a thought. Don't you believe that. There is a real devil. He's just as real as you are, anybody, a real devil. And you must recognize him real. You must know he's a devil. Then the same time that you recognize him and know that he's a devil and he's against you, then to overcome, you must recognize that the God in you is greater and mightier than he is, that the one that's in you has already overcome him. And by his grace, now listen to this, by his grace, you are more than a match for him. That's real overcoming when you recognize. Now, think now back to our story. Job has made all his sacrifices for all the sins of his family, maybe even something that was overlooked. He's offering that burnt offering, and now his offering has been offered. He has nothing left but the ashes of that sacrifice. And he's sitting there on the ashes of his sacrifice, and you think all this time that the devil was watching Job. The devil knew all about Job. And in Job chapter 3, he said, the things that I fear have come upon me. So Job knew what he feared. And Brother Brandon would even say that, he said, I might as well be honest. Satan just knows what you're a little afraid of, and there's no need in me trying to get around it. That even Brother Branham was afraid, you know, sometimes a little bit fearful of certain cases that would come up, epileptic cases and different kind of things. He was like, the devil knows. The devil knows. And you think that Satan is a people watcher, and he's watching you, and he's gathering information to see what you're afraid of and what bothers you, and that's what he's going to use as a tactic. Because that's what he used as a tactic against Job. He knew Job was afraid of losing everything, of losing his family and all the things that happened to him. So the devil is constantly studying the best way to attack. Or you think this morning that there's another dimension that you can't see where all these activities are going on. Just like in Job, all this conversation was going on, and Job was sitting down there unaware that people were interested, that God and Satan were interested in him. Brother Brown would say, he said, Satan knows just what you're a little afraid of, and there's no need in me trying to get around it. In Job chapter 3, verse 25, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come upon me. Satan knows. Satan, he said, no matter how educated you are, how smart you may be, how well you may think you know the Bible, Satan knows it just a lot better than you do. He said, Satan knows when you're bluffing, but he also knows when you've got it. He knows. He knows when you got it. And he knows that he's got limitations. That he can't do one thing without God's approval. You think about the attributes of Satan, that he can't do one thing without God's approval, and he's got limited knowledge of the situation. He had to ask God about Job. He had trouble grasping that Job was a real, authentic believer. And Job, Satan just couldn't sit still. He's a roamer. In Job 1:7 and 2:2, he's going, moving about. He couldn't sit still. He's going around examining things. And he cannot subvert God's ultimate purposes. No matter what the devil does, God's purpose is going to be fulfilled. Amen. And the devil is not eternal. So that proves that whatever Satan's doing, it's only going to last for a season. His testing of Job had a beginning and an end, showing that his actions are bound by time. So whatever you're going through this morning, if Satan's got you sitting on the ash heap, just remember this too shall pass. And we'll stop there. God bless you, saints.